Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/adventuresinautism. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Hi everyone, welcome to Adventures in Autism, episode 49. I am Megan Carranza. Thank you so much for coming to listen. If it is your first episode, welcome. If you have been listening, thank you so much for coming on back and supporting the pod. Thank you again to everyone who has reached out and sent messages and emails and reviews, especially the ones on Apple Podcast. Those really help people to find the show. And today's show is a really good one. My guest is Wendy. She is an autism mom. We talk all about her adorable son, Luca, and she shares her journey with him and a really fun, cute story about what's led her to start her company, Evolution, which is spelled kind of differently. So you have to listen, listen to the episode to find out. But Wendy is amazing. She is a yoga teacher and she just has like the most chill, laid back vibe that I just love. She's very namaste. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy listening to my conversation with Wendy. Hello, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to Adventures in Autism.
Thanks, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So Wendy and I were just chatting. We initially connected on Instagram, like I do with so many amazing autism mamas. I loved everything you were putting out there. I think what really got to me is all the videos of your adorable son, Luca, jumping on his pogo stick. It's like the cutest thing ever. And I'm like, I need to get Logan a pogo stick now. But I love all your realness. And I was like, I got to get her on the podcast. So I'm going to let you kind of take us back to sort of the beginning of your autism journey and everything that you have going on now, because we were speaking before and I'll let you explain it. But Wendy has a really great website and blog that does a lot of awesome things for autism. So we got to get into all of it. So take us back to kind of the beginning. I don't even know. Is Luca your only, no, you have a daughter too, you said. How many kids do you have?
I have two.
Okay. You've got two.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, take us back, sort of to the beginning of your autism journey, if you will.
For sure. So Luca is 7 and a half now. He's just awesome. I've learned so much from him. It's so wild. Been such an amazing journey. Mm-hmm. Every family with autism, you know, every kid is different. Mm-hmm. But we're one of those rare families, I guess it's not as rare anymore, who he was a really early talker. Mm. So he was, you know, like full sentences at one.
Wow. I think that is rare. I mean, at least for me on the podcast, like I've talked to a lot of parents at this point. And I mean, I definitely hear from people who it was like speech delay wasn't an issue, but I don't think where it was like on the other end of things.
Yeah, totally on the other end. Cause sometimes when you're filling out those questionnaires, it's like, you know, very little speech. And then there's always that option of like, sounds like a little professor. You know, like he was using all these big words in these sentences, but we didn't realize it at the time. He was simply just repeating, you know, phrases he had heard. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, of course he's really young. He wasn't understanding what he was saying, but, and it was so cute because he was so small and he was like, you know, this is a paleontologist. And,
was he watching Friends?
No, maybe I was. I don't remember.
When I hear paleontologist, there's nothing else that I can think of besides rock.
Yes, of course. Yes. So he was a really early talker. And I remember going to our pediatrician, and I think she just kept kind of brushing that off. We didn't see it as a sign, but she would say, you know, at his, I think, 2-year checkup, she's like, does he have at least 5 words? And I said, I think he's got like 400 words, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, like, and she just kind of looked at me like, okay, yeah, I think your kid's a genius. And you know, every parent does, and right. I'm just blowing you off. So it never really triggered any signs for us. We just thought he was an incredibly smart kid until about 3 years old. We moved from Los Angeles down to San Diego, and his tantrums started to become like over the top. You know, and the rigidity, he became very obsessive about things, about light switches, about, mm-hmm. you know, there's two ways you can get to our kitchen, and he always had to go one way. You know, so just those little things that would throw off the day for an hour at a time. And his repetition with his language became a lot more prevalent, where you'd ask him, you know, do you want some cereal? And he'd go, you want cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so used to him communicating in that way that it was kind of cute. And, you know, we sounded like Abbott and Costello. We'd be like, who wants cereal? He'd go, you do, I do, who does? Like, it was kind of fun for a little while. And then we were like, he's really not getting this. Like, mm-hmm. he's not understanding you, I, or she, or he, you know, like his little sister was just baby, like mm-hmm. baby does this and baby does that.
So he had a lot of language, but it wasn't necessarily like functional language.
It wasn't functional. It was echolalia.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and which we had no idea what that was at the time, you know, he's our oldest. And,
okay.
I had a friend who came to visit and stayed with us, and she had worked with kids with special needs. And she said, you know, I would just start to watch that, because I, you know, I worked with a kid who struggled with pronouns for a while, who had, I don't know if she said autism at that time, but she mm-hmm. said, I would watch it, and maybe might be a good idea to get it checked out. And, you know, I kept brushing it off, and my husband kept bringing it back up, like, maybe we should look into some things, because his tantrums were getting worse. And I'm like, no, I've been to the park, I've seen other kids tantrum. And, you know, all the moms that I would talk to were like, my kid throws tantrums too, and mm-hmm. you're fine. And
I'm curious though, when your friend like initially brought that up to you, had you had any concerns that you were just kind of like pushing down, or was that like surprising to you that she had said that?
I honestly had not had any concerns. Mm-hmm. My husband did. He traveled a lot. So he would go and come back. And so he would notice these things. And I think when you're just in it every day,
mm-hmm.
you don't notice, you know, in the hour we'd spend at the park, when I'd see another kid have a meltdown, I was like, okay, good. But, you know, I didn't, mm-hmm. I wasn't like timing meltdowns at that point. But my husband kept bringing it up and kept bringing it up, and finally, after my friend had said that, I was like, and I think the turning point for me too was my daughter then turned 2,
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't a super early talker like he was, but she did have a couple of words, and she and I had a conversation when she was 2, you know, a very... Yeah. minimal conversation, but I asked her a question, she answered, she added something else to it, you know, probably nobody else could understand her, but I could. And I was like, I just stopped. And I was like, I've never done that with your brother. I've never had a back and forth conversation. Mm-hmm. And so that was my big, like, okay, we need to do something.
Yeah.
And so he got his diagnosis right after he turned 4.
Like Logan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He had just turned 4. And it's funny because I've had people since starting the podcast, only a couple, but kind of question, like, why did you wait so long to get him diagnosed? Yeah. Which I'm like, I mean, you know, I don't think there's, I think there's, they're all different times as to like,
right.
when would be right. And even though he was on the other end of the spectrum, like Luca had a ton of speech, Logan really didn't have any. He mm-hmm. didn't have a ton of, like, he didn't tantrum. He didn't have okay. the repetitive behavior. So it was like, he wasn't, like, the things that he was doing were we knew that there was something going on. We knew that there was, you know, a speech delay, obviously, and some kind of like cognitive delay. Cause kind of like you were saying how you had that conversation with your daughter after we had had our daughter, our second. And even just from the time she was a baby, and it was like, I remember they would always ask me, you know, is he pointing? Is he pointing? Like when we first started getting him evaluated, just like early intervention. And I was like, no, but I didn't understand why that was a big deal. I just didn't, like the pointing thing didn't click with me. And then my daughter, who was probably like 8 or 9 months when she started pointing. And then I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. It's he, that like, first step.
Kind of, So it was really around the time that he turned 3 that we started to pursue it. I don't know how things were for you in California, but for here, we had just like an insane amount of like paperwork to do beforehand. And then we had an 8-month wait list. So it was just like, it, that's really the reason why he wasn't diagnosed until he had was had just turned 4. And looking back now, like, there's tons of things that I'm like, oh, we missed that. We missed that. And I, if I could go back and do it sooner, I probably would. But I feel like it's always interesting to hear like kind of what was what really like triggered you to seek the diagnosis.
Yeah, well, and it does take a long time. And I think, you know, that's the world is most people don't know a whole lot about autism, you know, except what they see on TV. And luckily now there's a lot more shows that, that talk about it. But, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot. And, and it never even crossed my mind. But, and for us, we decided to go through with the whole process, like, right after Thanksgiving 1 year, which was not a good time because like everybody's closed and you know, so we really, we couldn't get our, the first appointment to get the evaluation wasn't until February. So it was just, it was tough. And his preschool teacher at the time was like, you know, at recess, Luca's just laying down and all the kids are kind of running around him. She's like, I don't know what to do with him. So that, you know, was another moment for us. We were like, that's interesting because Luca wasn't pointing either. You know, he was just, he would wander around and just sort of script everything. He would say phrases all over the place. But so then we got the diagnosis, and since he was 4, he was school age. So right away they, and luckily it was our home school, they have a preschool program that was a mixed class of kids with high functioning autism and neurotypical kids. So they had about 12 kids in there with a teacher and 2 aides. So I think it was about 3 or 4 kids on the spectrum and then the rest neurotypical, which was great. He was in that for about 1.5 years. And the first year was tough for him. You know, he was struggling with transitioning and all of that. And it's sort of when everything happened for us and when we started our business, it all sort of goes hand in hand because we were, we had tried to start ABA, which I didn't love.
No, I would love to hear about that because I feel like we've had such a great experience with ABA, but I know, and I think most people on the podcast have too, but I mean, there's it, I've said it from the beginning, ABA is not right for every kid.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you, and then I think as a mom, you know, like you have to trust your instincts. Cause I was like, every time they came, and I think you have to find the right therapist. Cause I think really the therapy doesn't matter as much as who it is and their intention and their passion behind it. Because we just, we had a couple that were not great. And every time they came, it just, I was like eating. I was like, I can't, my stomach hurt. I'm like, this is the worst thing ever.
Was Luca having a hard time with it?
He was. Okay. Like we had been like a month without any meltdowns, like major ones. And then his first ABA session, 3, like back to back, like 20, 30, 45 minutes long. And I was just like, I can't do this. They wanted to come in 5 days a week. And I was like, there's something not right about this for me, for our kid. I'm like, I need to understand why he's having the meltdowns. I don't want to change them until I understand why, like what's happening, what's the frustration. because they were just ignoring it and trying to shift the behavior.
Oh.
And so, like, let's give him an alternate behavior. Let's not give him the attention when he's melting down. Let's, you know, which I get, and mm-hmm. it works maybe for some kids, but I was like, I need to understand why. Like, he's so upset right now. What, yeah. you know, and you're ignoring him now too, which is making it even worse. Like, mm-hmm. I need to sit down with him and hold his hands and be like, what is going on? So I started doing a lot of research myself.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Luca was obsessed with, so he gets obsessed with things for like, mm-hmm. 6 months at a time. So at the time he was obsessed with letters.
Okay.
My dog.
Really?
He's very protective of anybody selling a package Amazon, I'm sure.
I can relate.
He was obsessed with letters. Okay. So he taught himself how to read. Like one night I was reading to him and he just took the book and he goes, I'll do that. And he just started reading.
Oh my
God. Like, okay. So we're done with
so
that.
So was he almost like savant skills?
Sometimes I think so. There's certain things. When he gets obsessed and locked into something, he takes it to the extreme. I mm-hmm. mean, you've seen with the pogo stick.
Yeah.
He's determined now to get in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most pogo sticks.
I think he's going to do it. But you could also tell how much he loves it, too.
Like, he loves it.
He's got this huge smile on his face. So it's like, yes. Sure.
Kid. Well, and we've learned over time that anytime he feels confident and like he's good at what he's doing, he just goes for it. He thrives. He does not do well with like negative reinforcement or mm-hmm. like his teacher this year ripped up a homework paper because he didn't read the book and he didn't really answer the questions. And he was so like upset. And so for 4 months, he's like, I don't like to read. I don't like to read just because of that one little
That's
thing.
That's kind of harsh that she
yeah.
the paper.
I know. I had
like, that's
yeah. We had an IEP meeting about it.
I wouldn't take too kindly to that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
Well, I know.
Especially like in the moment, I think that's like a terrible way to respond. But then something that had like a lasting effect with him, where it was
right for months.
Oh, his confidence was hit by that. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, so, what happened to you guys?
Yeah. So anyway, so he was obsessed with the letters. He got obsessed with fonts. He wanted to know every font that existed. So I would print out and pages of fonts and it was great. And I'd be like, you know, this is Times New Roman and this is, you know, Comic Sans.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we'd look at how they're different, but how you could still see the basic S form, but how that, you know, some of them have a little flare over here. And
mm-hmm.
He was so fascinated by that. But he'd get really frustrated when we'd go places if a word was written on a glass window or a door, because then you'd walk inside and the words would be reversed.
His
brain was just like, what is happening? So mm-hmm. we'd walk in and out of buildings several times and I'd say, it's meant for you to read when you're on this side. And it's not meant for you to read when you're on that side. It's meant mm-hmm. for the people out there to read it. And so it took us about a month of that, talking about that. And then he just kind of moved on from it. And I didn't think much of it, but he loves to write because he was obsessed with letters at that time. So he would, our backyard, it was just covered in chalk writing from Luca. But he took his chalk and we have garden boxes because we had started a little garden, and he wrote on our garden boxes love, but he wrote it in reverse, which kids do when they're first learning to write. And so I came out and I had a rag in my hand and I said, hey buddy, you know, I love that you wanted to write love on this garden box, but let's erase it and let's write it the right way, like we've been practicing from left to right so that people can read it.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped me and he said, no, 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 mama. I wrote it that way so the plants could read it from the inside.
Oh, my heart.
And I know.
I just,
like, we were like 2 or 3 weeks into ABA and I just looked at him and I said, in my mind, I said, you are absolutely fine. Like mm-hmm. you, there's nothing wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You see the world differently. And no wonder you get frustrated and you melt down because you have these really unique ways of looking at things and you're mm-hmm. having a hard time explaining that. And we're trying to get you to see things our way.
Yeah.
And so that in that moment, I was like, I called and I canceled the ABA. I was like, it's just not the right fit for us.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to know my kid and the way that he sees the world, because I think it's so amazing, mm-hmm. you know, just to do that, to have the sense to do that.
Yes.
And, you know, and to be able to explain it to me, it was like so many things all wrapped up into one. And that message too of, why are we doing things for other people, you know, mm-hmm. to read or to approve of? Like, why aren't we doing stuff to send love in? Like, mm-hmm. I teach yoga, so I took it on so many different levels.
No, I see what you're saying, because it yeah. is like in so many, there's so many ways to look at that. I think something important to say, though, because I feel like ABA does have the stigma around it that it has this like negative connotation. And one of the reasons why I talk about it so positively on the podcast was because I had heard from a lot of parents that ABA didn't work for my kid. It was too intense. It was too hard. We didn't like it. And so I was thinking like, oh, well, we're probably going to have a similar situation. But I do think that because it is so individual, and it really mm-hmm. is just you have to meet your kid where they are. And I mean, for us, like, it really has been a game changer, and it has helped Logan to, because like we're light years away from, like, you know, the plants understanding
yeah
feeling the love, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we, like, because I mean, we're not quite even yet to like him writing his name, you know what I mean? So things like that, where I think it really is like so individual. And
absolutely.
I think you as the mom, like, you know your child best, mm-hmm. and you knew that that was not the right situation for Luca, just like how I know that it is the right situation for Logan. And there's no wrong or right. It's just like, you have to follow your heart and your gut. And like you said, if your kid is not happy, if it's not aligning with them and they're melting down in therapy, that's a pretty big indication that it's probably yeah. not working. But
yeah,
like, I mean, for us, it was like right away. I just recorded with another mom the other day, and I was talking about how when the first time we met Logan's BCBA, it was like he immediately was drawn to her, and he wanted to sit in her lap and he wanted to hold her hand. And I think yes. in a lot of ways we were just really lucky, and like the stars kind of aligned for us to like get the right team together.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, honestly, like it probably very easily could have gone the other way, depending on how he reacted with the team and their approach with him. I just, like how you were saying, it's a lot. I mean, some of it is a therapy, but I think a lot of it too is just that connection. And
yeah.
it has to be the right fit. And if it's not, that's okay too.
Yeah, because I met with another ABA therapist who worked independently and privately, and she was great. And I was like, I could see this working, but we just can't afford to,
yeah,
to hire you.
Oh my God.
But she came just to chat, just because I was having such a struggle with the ABA company we had been using, that mm-hmm. she came. And so absolutely. And we have another little friend who did ABA for a couple years, and same thing, loved it. And I'm like, it's just every kid is different. And because then we found an occupational therapist,
okay.
who I didn't ever think that Luca would need occupational therapy, because what I knew of it, I didn't have a complete picture of it.
And I think OT is hard to understand if you
yeah.
don't really know what it is, because
yeah.
we did OT with Logan starting from the time he was like 20 months old, because we had him evaluated from earlier intervention and they just recommended speech and OT. And I was kind of yeah. like, what are we even going to do in OT? But then I don't know for you guys, but for us, when I saw it, like, and that's kind of almost how I describe ABA, at least what he did then, it was almost like a combination, like what he does now is almost like a combination of speech and OT. That's what they kind of do in ABA. They do more stuff too. But
yeah.
a lot of similar things that they do.
Well, and I think that ABA has transformed in the last few years a little bit, where they are incorporating more of those physical skills and sensory type stuff. Cause I mean that it wasn't that way. And that's been almost 4 years, but, and maybe it was just the therapist, but
I think probably is a lot of factors.
Absolutely. Cause then my husband and I decided to share the story, the love backwards story on social media. We made the choice that because we were devastated when we got the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And then once we got kind of started in it and into the world, and we realized that it wasn't a bad thing, that there's so much help out there. So we decided we didn't want to make it a negative thing or something we were ashamed of, or and not that people are when they want to keep it secret. There's absolutely reasons that people want to keep it private, and I totally understand that. But we just chose that we wanted to let everybody around us know. And so we chose that story. We typed it out. We put it out there on Facebook at the time, and we got so many amazing responses back. And even one was a former yoga student of mine who had lived in LA, who had moved to San Diego. And she sent me a message, and she's like, "I'm an occupational therapist for children with autism. I want to help. I want to be part of Luca's journey and his story. I think he's amazing." And so we ended up hiring her, and she was fantastic at just helping us understand the sensory pieces that maybe were playing a part in Luca's meltdowns. But she was also, because she was, you know, a yoga student of mine, she also was able to kind of go into that other, we were able to talk about things in a different way of like, you know, maybe he needs some squeezes, and we would talk about his chakras, and just like, she was amazing at that, like just being able to be, and for me, that was the language that I understood, and and she was great in that we worked together really well, because I always wanted to be a part of everything. So, you know, she was, anytime when he'd move on to a new obsession, we'd collaborate on ideas on ways we could use what he's into to teach him a new concept. And that's what I loved about her, is that she really helped me fine tune that skill, which I think is so important, rather than, you know, moving them from their, whatever it is that they're into, but using that to expand his brain. Like right now, he's into numbers and measurements, and like we measure everything. And we traveled a couple months ago. And so to keep him, because he's pretty good sensory wise. He's a sensory seeker. He loves to touch everything. And so sometimes, you know, busy places can be a lot, and he tends to kind of just wander off and find a line to follow or something to touch. And so to keep him with me at the airport with me and my daughter, just going with his interests and keeping in his world, so I'd say, "Hey Luca, what do you estimate, how far from here to that sign over there?" And then he'd be like, and as we're walking towards it, and he'd be like, "Probably 50 feet, now about 40. And he'd count down, and we'd get to that sign, and be like, "Okay, how far from this to that?" And so it just, it is using his interest to keep him engaged, to keep him present. And she, our occupational therapist, really helped me just establish that, finding ways to use his interest to grow his brain, to move along. Like I have a friend who came over, and she's like, "What if you," because he loves food too. He is like I cannot keep enough food in the house. Which I think has been a really big change for us too in his behavior. Because as I found the occupational therapist, I also then looked into the research on diet and how that might be affecting things, and you know, why is my son laying down when kids around him are playing? I understand that he doesn't know how to play with other kids, but that's a communication in and of itself, what's happening. And so we cut out gluten, which made a huge difference, because he was a really picky kid. I had to put his plate down a certain way. He would only eat certain color foods. You know, it was all very picky. And so we cut out gluten, and it took him about 2 weeks of eating like fruit and a whatever I could get down in. Mm-hmm. And then he all of a sudden got really interested in the smells and the spices and would help me put, you know, cinnamon in something and cumin in something else. And so then because he was helping and he was interested in the smell, he started tasting things. And he was like, I want that quinoa. I want to try that sushi. Give me the mushrooms. Gosh. Like he just, it was unbelievable. It went like from like, I will only eat this to now give me that. I want that. I want that. I want that. He's very, he still is like adamant that he does not like cheese or avocados or eggs, but
he knows what he wants and what he does.
He knows, but he's like obsessed with sushi. Like I have to keep the refrigerator stocked with sushi at all times.
That is so funny. Will you explain a little bit about the diet? Because I feel like that's something you hear about a lot. And I don't think I've had anybody on the podcast so far who actually has done the diet. And I know like the gluten-free, casein-free, like the GFCF is like kind of the one you hear about the most. Yeah. And I think for some people, it seems like it has like amazing benefits. And then for others, it doesn't really seem to do much. So tell me like a little bit about how you guys incorporated that and then just like the differences you've seen from it.
Yeah, we went to see a different doctor and they had done some testing. I didn't love this doctor, but they did say that he did have a small sensitivity to gluten. And I think that because I had been thinking about trying it, but I'm like, it's going to be so hard. He's so picky. I don't know if we can do this. But then when I found that out, I was like, no wonder he's laying down and no wonder he's irritable and he melts down because probably he's got a little belly ache. Like there's all these little signs you can watch for. Like if your kid pushes his belly on things a lot, like pushes maybe the corner of a chair or the corner of a table or one of the big, you know, exercise balls, if they put their belly on that a lot, or they just tend to lay down and kind of curl up a lot, especially if they're nonverbal, that's often a sign that there's something hurting. And because it's probably been that way all along, they don't know that it's something new or different.
Right.
They just think it's something that's part of their life. So I started noticing those little signs with him because he didn't notice, hey, my belly hurts. He just would lay down. He just would push into me with his belly. And so I started looking into the research and I was like, I think it's worth trying because we were waiting for something else. And you're always waiting. A new therapist or this or that. And I was like, while we're waiting, what if we just try this? And my husband was like, I'm not doing it. You know, he's Italian. He's like, I need my pasta. Like, yeah. Gluten-free pasta.
So you guys all went gluten-free.
Well, we did, but then I would sometimes make some gluten stuff for my husband and my daughter because they were but they have been really good. Like the gluten-free bread they're all into now.
And, oh good.
And the pasta that they and the pizza too. They love the pizzas.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it just creates some inflammation. And sometimes the inflammation creates different bacteria in your gut. And sometimes that bacteria leads to what they say is like leaky gut. So then your intestines and things like that become inflamed because they feel like they're trying to fight something. Mm-hmm. And that in turn can create some inflammation in the brain, which can change and shift behavior. And so we can talk about this as well. The charity that we donate to, because with the love story, we ended up starting a business where we started making shirts and hats and jewelry and everything that had love written in reverse. So that the message was for you and not for anybody else, because we were so inspired by Luca and you know, as an autism mom, you got to do something. So we then started donating to this charity called Autism Tree Project in San Diego. And they have a neuroscience conference every year. And so cool, this last year, it was in October, the neuroscience conference I went to, because there's a lot of neuroscience things happening in and around San Diego, but a lot of the aren't sharing info. And so this nonprofit decided to bring all these neuroscientists together so that they could present on like their latest research and what they're working on. And so, you know, CBD stuff and all sorts of things, diet stuff. But it was, you know, a neuroscientist up there telling us because he was testing a new drug for autism. And he said, listen, because most of the conference was parents. And he's like, if you want to treat your kid's brain, you have to treat their gut. Like, it is so hard for us to make a drug that can do something on the brain, because it has to pass through, you know, the liver and the whole digestive system. Like, it's really hard, which makes it really expensive. It's like, if you really want to change your kid's brain and their behavior, change what's in their gut. And I was like, yes, like, it's, and it makes sense the more you start to research it and all the stuff. Like, it's just, it's a convenience thing. So we're giving our kids all this packaged food, which is great for us because it's easy and it's quick. But at the same time, it has certain chemicals in it, and it's making up now what is in our kids' bodies and in their brain. So when we switched gluten-free, we also started doing mostly organic and started growing our own food. And he was at a point in his preschool where they were looking at other special ed programs for him for kindergarten. They weren't sure he was ready to mainstream. Mm-hmm. And we cut out gluten. It was about a month and a half, maybe 2 months after that. We went in for his IEP meeting, and she said, I don't know what you guys are doing, but he's a different kid. He's like,
oh my gosh,
eye contact. He's engaging. He's transitioning. He was sleeping better. He was, all these things just started falling into place, and they're like, we're absolutely mainstreaming him. He is ready to go.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was like, it was so awesome to hear. And and now that he's been, I mean, we've been gluten-free now for 3 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And we're slowly, and we did cut out dairy for a while, but he doesn't eat much dairy anyway. He doesn't like cheese.
Right.
So we've slowly started adding the dairy back in, but I just make sure that I know where it's coming from. And then this summer we're planning to start to add some gluten sources back in, that we make sure that is organic, that you know where it's coming from, just to see, because he's at an age now where he's so into food. He wants to know. He wants, why can't I have that? Why, you know, and I want him to be able to go to a birthday party and, you know, have a piece of cake if he wants to, but I want him to recognize how it might shift his behavior. So he's at that at age now where he's willing to try that. So we're going to try it a little bit over the summer. Highly recommend, when you're waiting, when you're doing all that waiting, just try it, because you may see something, you might not. But if anything, it's hard when your kid is picky, but it is going to force your kid to try some new things, and you have to go through what they're interested in. Like I said, Luca got interested and curious about smells. And so you have to, like I have a student who I tell the story a lot when I'm teaching yoga. I tell a lot of Luca stories. And she heard the love backwards story. And so she went home, she bought a hat for me, and she went home, and she had a little boy who then a month later got diagnosed with autism.
Oh my gosh.
So she started, reading our blog and researching the diet stuff, and she started, because her son was 2, I think, or maybe 2.5, and so she started, they like moved to a farm and started growing their own food. She just started pumping her kid with smoothies because that's all she could get him to eat, but she started putting like all sorts of stuff in his smoothies, and he slowly became less and less picky and was willing to try new things. But flash forward to, I think, 2 years after that, they took him off the spectrum. They got tested, and they're like, your kid does not show any signs of autism, which is, my word. You know, yeah, amazing.
That's a rarity.
super rare. Yeah. But, and not that, you know, changing your diet is going to make that happen, and not that you want that to happen. Because for us, like, I love the little quirks of autism that Luca has.
Yeah.
It's part of who he is. And But so awesome that you can change a little bit and make things maybe a little bit easier for them in the long run if everything's working well. I mean, think about yourself. If your stomach hurts or you've like eaten something that isn't sitting well, you're totally irritable. Like, you're like, just don't even bother me.
It's interesting because I feel like a lot of the people that I have heard from that have said that it is helpful are ones that like their child has more kind of, like you were saying, that kind of like irritability or like sort of like more meltdowns, because I mean, it would make sense if they are miserable. And I think the diet almost kind of like ABA, where it's like, I just think some kids, it seems like they see an amazing result from it, and then other people, it's like, we saw no difference. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think it goes in hand with something, because I think if you just change your kid's diet, it is going to change some things. Like for us, it helped. Luca would lay awake at night for hours, and he would sit there and do math problems, and you could like listen at his door, and he'd be like, 17 plus 17 plus 17, and he'd just be like,
oh my gosh,
doing numbers. And when we switched, and we also started doing CBD oil too, and I think the combination of those just helped him sleep, so that the therapy that he was doing, we were having better results. Like everything just was working more effectively. And so I'm frustrated in that, like when people first get a diagnosis that, you know, like our pediatrician wasn't like, hey, why don't you look into this or try this? You know, that it took me over a year to research it myself, to be like, I want to try this. Like, it's, there's so many studies out there now about it. And we've participated in studies at some universities as well, so that they can compare gut bacteria. And it's so fascinating. And I just think, why not? Because you're like, I'm waiting for this, I'm waiting for that diagnosis. And why not? I mean, it's only going to help, even if you're not cutting out gluten, but maybe you just switch to organic, or maybe you don't do as much processed foods, or you cut out the sugar, just little things to be like, why not try this? Because it is, I'm putting this stuff in my kid 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times a day. What it, you know, maybe it might help things, and it's something to do.
It's not
it's not going to hurt them. And I hated the waiting game. I was like, what can I do while we're waiting for this or that?
It's so funny you mentioned CBD oil. I wanted CBD to work so bad with Logan. I had such high hopes for it. And that was another thing that it was like, and we tried several different formulations and brands, and we just saw no difference. Like for him, I was hoping, cause he does, again, doesn't have like the meltdown behaviors or like the irritability. He's 99% of the time super happy, but he is like incredibly high energy. I think we're probably looking at like an ADHD diagnosis at some point. Because he just, like, the kid doesn't calm down. Like he's the skinniest little thing in the whole world, and he eats all day long, but it's because he just never stops moving. Like his metabolism is just like through the roof. So I was hoping that the CBD would help him just kind of chill a little bit, and like maybe not that I want to take away his energy, but like, you know, it can almost sometimes be like that manic energy, and I'm like, we could just like chill him out a little bit. And it just like, it really made no difference for him. So it's so funny how it's, and then I just was hearing from another mom recently who was saying that that's why they gave it to her son, and that it helped a ton, that he just really helped him chill out. And I think he did have some kind of more just like aggressive behaviors, and it really helped chill those out too. And I'm just like, that's why it is kind of like, just try it all, because you never know, you know, throw a bunch of spaghetti at the wall and just see what sticks, because you never know.
Yeah, especially if it's something that isn't going to hurt your kid. Like, you know, just why not?
I appreciate you sharing that about the diet, because I feel like that's something that, and I've researched it too and looked into it, and I've talked to other people about it. And I think you do hear a lot of just kind of conflicting reports of it. So I appreciate you just kind of giving your take on things.
Yeah, I just think any time we can make our kids a little bit healthier, it's going to be better. And whether that's a gluten-free thing or a sugar thing or whatever, it's
just,
you know, it's helped my daughter, because sometimes she's harder to deal with than Luca.
Oh, I know. I always joke, like, especially when it is your first kid that has autism, because it's like, there were so many things that we did with Logan that we didn't even, you know, realize were different until we had our daughter. And then like, cause just even like as a toddler, like he never went through like terrible twos, cause he was just like a really good, happy kid. Like he didn't have tantrums. He didn't melt down. my daughter, even though she's neurotypical, she has way more tantrums than he ever did. This kid is testing me. And he never did that. He never pushed our buttons in that way. So it's so funny because I always feel like I have to have so much patience for Logan. I just have this like reserve for him. But then my poor daughter, like, I'm like, oh, you are like, my patience is out the window now, kid. So
I know. My daughter looked at me like a year ago. I don't know even what had happened, but she goes, but I have the autism too. You have to start treating me better. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
Okay, I do need to check myself because I am treating you both differently, but you are different kids. So I really tried in the last year to be as equal as I can with them because she notices, and she's 5 and a half now.
So I was going to ask, like, how old is she? Because my daughter's and she definitely understands that like Logan is different and she treats him different in like a really sweet and compassionate way, which she's not like that with every other kid. So it's like, I know that she knows, but she would not have, I don't think she would have like the understanding to say, you know, I have the autism. That's so cute.
She was almost 5 and I was like, oh, I need to, you know, because I've talked to her a lot about what it is. And but it's funny because now I'm like, I look around at our family and I'm like, my husband is like the perfect ABA therapist because when Luca gets locked into wanting to do something a certain way, my husband is the best one to like force him out of it. Mm-hmm. And they end up having fun because my husband can do it in a really fun way, which is so good. Because I'm like, if you want to go that way, let's avoid the meltdowns and the tantrums. Let's do it your way. I'm totally game. But my husband's like, no, we are going this way. And it is going to be an adventure. And he's awesome with him at that. And my daughter is like the best social therapist ever because she is overly social. We ended up putting her in the same preschool that he had been in as one of the neurotypicals. And she loved it. She was like, you know, she'd come home and she'd be like, my friend so-and-so, she can't talk yet, but it's okay because I can understand what it is that she needs. Sometimes I communicate for her. But she, you know, she developed that intuitive nature and being able to deal with all different kinds of kids. And
I feel like
incredible for him.
It's easy to have, like, it sounds like you too, like we have that guilt sometimes of, you know, you focus so much on your child with autism, and it's like I worry about, because I have 2 little girls, I worry about them thinking like they're going to feel slighted, or, you know, I'm not giving them as much. But then I think about everything they're gaining from having a, you know, a special needs sibling, particularly autism, because I just feel like that, like, empathy and compassion is just like ingrained in them. It's like all they know, and they can just bring that out into the world and like spread the love backward or forward.
Well, and I love, and like the charity we donate to, they have a sibling support group. She's not quite old enough yet, but I'm like, it's great because they do stuff for the whole family, as opposed, you know, not just the kids. Because it is that's why they call it autism tree, because it's like it affects the whole family, you know? And so making sure that there's stuff for everybody is so important.
That's amazing. I'm gonna have to definitely look into them. I know you were saying before we started recording they're kind of local to you're in San Diego now?
I'm in San Diego, so they're in San Diego or Southern Cal. They have an office up in Northern Cal as well, and then they just expanded over to Philly, I believe. And it's so cute, it's because the mom who started it, because of course it was started by a mom of a kid with autism, he just started his first year of college at George Washington. The family moved to the East Coast, and she's like, well, let's keep doing the work over here that we've been doing in California. So she's continuing it over there, which I love.
So they're kind of expanding too. That's amazing.
And the kid is so great, and it's good to, you know, it's hard because in the autism community there's so many different
opinions
and kids, and everybody's on a different level and doing different things, and I connected with them because the mom who started it, her kid sounds a lot like Luca, how Luca was, you know, mm-hmm. verbal, but having meltdowns. So you connect with people who you can, you're like, okay, all right, yes. And so it's been nice to just have that as a mm-hmm. resource to be like, well, you know, this last weekend was the first time ever, which I'm still like so excited about. We were at the house Friday early evening and heard a loud knock on the door, and my husband opened the door and there's a little boy out there and he goes, "Can Luca come out and play?" I was like, oh, well, what?
That gave me chills. It really,
yeah.
Oh my
and,
God.
And my crazy. Husband was like in shock and he's like, I think so. Luca?
Yeah. What do we do?
And Luca came down. He's like, "Can I?" And we're like, "Yeah, go play."
Oh,
so, you know, he still struggles. He still has a hard time because he wants to do things his way. And so he gets frustrated when somebody, you know, wants to play something else or do something different. But he's learning. And mm-hmm. And it happened twice. The kid came back a second time over the weekend. He's in the class. God. And I was like, yes. Because Luca
amazing.
Just has no interest in friends. He says everybody's his friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in first grade. He's almost done with first grade and he'll be going into second grade. And there's been a couple of things. It's funny because I'm at school all the time. Like I volunteer, I'm the room mom, I do mm-hmm. math rotations. I'm just there. And
he's in the mainstream class, you said.
He's mainstreamed, yeah. And
does he have a para or anything? Or no?
A what?
Oh, like an aide, a para?
He doesn't have an aide. They're thinking about maybe one for second grade. Mm-hmm. Just a couple times a week, just to help him with like organizing his backpack and his drawer. And
okay,
because he's transitioning well now. He's so we'll see. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the teacher, just like it depends on the therapist. So
true,
we're trying to figure out now who the best teacher would be
mm-hmm.
for him. I have a meeting with the principal today, but it's something else. I'm trying to start a group, like an after-school program. I'm calling it the Friendship Project, but where we would pair like somebody like Luca with a neurotypical kid who's maybe a little bit older,
mm-hmm.
where like once a month or maybe more often, I don't know, but they just stay after school and just play.
Yeah.
Just do whatever they're interested in and pair them up so that somebody who has a similar interest to Luca and uh-huh. do it with a lot of the kids, because I know a lot of the kids at this school. It's a school that if your kid is high functioning, they'll keep you there and mainstream you. Because if there's more needs, then they send you to another school close by. But mm-hmm. so I'm like, there's all these high functioning kiddos with autism at this school who are all struggling to find friends.
And yeah.
People keep telling me that friends are so important to take with you to middle school, that that's how you survive middle school, is if you have, you know, a group or just somebody.
I think friends are just how you survive life.
Right, exactly. So I'm like, Luca just doesn't have the interest.
Yeah.
But he's really interested in playing all of a sudden. And I'm like, Mom, I can't play with you all the time. Like, I can't.
Right.
I'm not a kid. I can play for a little while and then I have a list of things I have to do. so I'm like, if you had a friend, they could play with you for forever. And so that like flipped a switch for him. He was like, really?
Ooh,
so I'm working with the school to try to create this new project where you pair these kids up, where they just have somebody on campus who kind of looks out for them.
Yeah.
Because he has some second graders that have been making fun of him lately, and it just breaks my heart.
That is, oh my gosh. I'm not, I don't know how I would deal with that. Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's one of those things that I'm scared because there's a possibility that could happen, but like I will be a psycho. Like don't think I'm gonna be able to keep my cool in a situation like that. We've been lucky so far, but I mean, I hear about stuff like that and there's nothing lower, you know?
Well, and I think, and so that's why we've always been really open. Like even his kindergarten class, I was doing yoga with his kindergarten class twice a week. And at the end, I had to like advocate and fight to get this, but I was able to at least teach the kindergartners about what autism is. I wasn't mm-hmm. like, this is Luca and he has autism, but I at least got to introduce that word to them because
yeah.
I don't I don't want them to be afraid of what that word means. So we did like sensory tables, and then we talked about how, you know, for somebody with autism, that might be really challenging. Or and they were so cute. Then at the end, I was like, you know, what? I read a book. I'm like, what could you guys do to be a good friend to somebody with autism? And they were so cute. They were like, if the fire alarm goes off, maybe we could get them some headphones.
Oh,
like, so cute. But it inspired me this year in the Luca. They had a little fun run at his school, and they would go out by their grade level and run, and it was to raise money for the school. And he's running around the track, and the third graders were having recess at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this group of third grade boys lined up on the side of the track, and it's a really short track, but every time Luca came around, because I was there and I didn't know these boys, but every time he came around, they were like, yeah, Luca, go Luca.
Oh.
And I was like, who are these boys? I took a picture of them, and I went to the principal, and I'm like, who are these boys? Because I need to know them. And he called them out of class like a week later, and I brought them little like $5 Target cards, and he got them cookies, the principal did, and I brought them in, and I said, I want to just tell you guys how awesome, because Luca was like so excited.
Yeah.
These older boys cheering him on. And so I explained to them, you know, that Luca has autism, and they're like, yeah, we know. And they're like, we noticed Luca, he was walking around at morning recess by himself. And so we invited him to play basketball, and we've been trying to teach him how to shoot baskets. And I was like, you guys.
Oh, they're like, amazing.
The best.
Dream.
Yes. And so, you know, so now there's these five kids who are a little bit older, who always watch out for Luca, you know, and when they see him on campus. And so I'm like, I want to make more of that. And for not just Luca, but for these other kids that I know that are struggling socially.
Mm-hmm. I had a guest on recently who, she's not an autism mom, but she is a school psychiatrist, social worker. And she, so she does like testing for autism, but she has done many different things. And she was talking about how at one of the schools she worked at, she started a program like that, where it was kind of like a buddy system. And they had, you know, a peer, a typical peer who was already kind of like screened. Like they made sure that there was, you know, kids who they knew were going to be able to work well with, with these students with autism. And she was saying how this was a few years ago. And she's like, I still hear from like the kids who were like the helpers in the program about how much they got out of it. And then, you know, like the kids with autism, like they were just, it was just like, it was equally important for both parties. And like, yeah, I think that's amazing that you're doing that. Such a great, and it's so true. Cause like the whole bullying thing, I think that if we, you know, we advocate now when they're young like that, because that's the thing, is it's like a lot of the bullying, it comes from kids just not knowing. And unfortunately, like that not knowing can just, you know, breed and become much worse than just not being aware. But I feel like, yeah, if we can get to kids when they're young and just explain to them, you know, some of us are different and we learn different and we might talk different, but it's like, it's all okay. We need to just be inclusive. I was similar to what you were saying. I didn't teach yoga, but I went Logan. So Logan is in a self-contained classroom. He's with everyone in his class with autism, but the typical kindergarten class is right across the hall, and they do blend quite a bit. And he does more inclusion time because he does really well with that. But I went for April, for Autism Awareness Month. I just wanted to go read a book to the typical kindergartners, and Logan's class came, so everybody got to hear it. And I read a book called Why Is He Doing That, who was another guest on the podcast back in the beginning. And I just got to talk to the kindergartners about autism. And like you said, it's like, even if they don't, they might not understand what autism is, but it was like their response to it was so sweet. Like we were talking about being different, and this one little boy was like, yeah, I woke up today and like my hair looks really different, but like my friends still love me. Like, yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah,
they just they look at things in a different way, but I'm like, yes, it's the same thing.
Yes. Well, and even adults, like so my husband and I did a golf tournament last year. We hosted a golf tournament to raise money for this charity, and so we both spoke at the dinner, and I made, you know, 100 adults stim. I made them flap their arms for like 30 seconds because I was like, now feel like how much more awareness you have of your hands and your body, and you know where you are. And that's all that they're looking to do. Like, you know, even
get
if you like
energy out.
If you slam your finger in the door, the first thing you usually do is you shake your hand to remind yourself to be like, okay, my hand is still there. I know where it is. I know where it is in space. And like, it's such a natural thing because now these parents know, and now they're going home and teaching their kids about what it is. So it's not a weird thing when you see somebody doing it. So it's education. And that's really why we started the business, was just to be really open about what is autism and how do we feed it love? You know, how do we spread the love about it? Because there's so many amazing things to it. It forces us to see things differently.
It really
forces us to become better people, right? To look at the world differently. So like, the more love we can spread around it and awareness and education, I think that's really what our goal is. And because Luca is so verbal, maybe he can be a voice for what's going on inside his brain and in his head. And he can tell people, you know, what all the thoughts that are happening, and that could be helpful for kids who maybe aren't verbal, and parents whose kids aren't speaking, and be like, oh, well, you know, maybe they're thinking about this. It's just so many ways we can help change the perspective
totally agree. I'm definitely, I'm with you. I'm in the camp that like autism, it's not to say it's easy, because it's hard, but it really is a gift, and it's opened my heart and my mind in ways that I know I wouldn't have experienced otherwise. So I'm truly so thankful. Well, Wendy, you are amazing. I feel like I can tell you're a yoga teacher because you're just like Zen, and I love it. I'm so not a yogi, but I really enjoy yoga. I just I'll take a class. Yeah. Just like, it feeds my soul.
Well, I don't think that's the yoga. I've always been. When my husband first met me, he's like, you must be a weed smoker because you are so chill. I'm just that's just my personality.
Well, yoga suits you well then.
So yoga suits me. When I found yoga, I was like, this is my thing.
Well, can you tell everyone where they can connect with you and find all your products and everything?
Yeah, so our website is iam-love.org. And Instagram is Evol, so love backwards, EVOL.evolution. Those are the best places to find us.
So funny. I in my head, I read it as Evol Evolution, because like Evol Evolution. So it's funny when you like hear something in your own head, then you're like, oh, that's what it really
is. Yeah. Okay. Just because, because when we first started doing it, we were calling it Evol, and then we switched to the I Am Love. But I was like, because I was hearing people say evil, and I'm like,
oh, no, evil, no, not evil. Like,
but evil.
Like,
yeah.
Like, yes. That's what I was. No, not evil. But I thought, like, I was thinking, like, let's evolve and, like, be like, a part of the, you know, evolution. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it could be, evolve. But yeah, I was thinking evolution. So it was evil. Yeah. I'm like, just say evolution, but cut off the ocean part. That's how you can find this.
Needs to go follow you and see Luca jumping on his pogo stick because it makes you so happy. It's so sweet.
We're almost to 15,000, and I think the pogo stick that he has, the company wants him to be an ambassador, which would be fun because it's another way to promote autism awareness.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get.
You had mentioned that you connected with another mom because it was like Luca was similar to her son. I feel like Logan and Luca sound so different because they. Like they are like the opposite sides of the spectrum that, you know, there's everything in between. But Logan is also such a seeker and he loves to jump. And just watching Luca on his pogo stick, like I saw Logan and him, and it just like warmed my heart. So it's so
funny.
Even when we're so different, there's still similarities.
Well, and I will tell you, the pogo stick, because when I got it, I was like, this is either going to be really good or really bad. and it took him about 4 or 5 days to get it. And then he got it. But because I knew he loved counting at the time. And so I knew it would give him a way to count something. But it is our new occupational therapy, because he's getting so much stimulation in vestibular and in proprioception that he's, like, since he started pogo sticking, his the way he is at school has changed.
He's
so much calmer. He sits, he's like, it's unbelievable, but he's pogo singing for like 100 minutes, you know, like,
hey, go to town, so. You know, if you're happy, go for it. Logan has a mini trampoline. We just got a big one. We haven't put it up yet, but he's always doing the trampoline, but I never even thought about a pogo stick. And then I saw your videos and I was like, oh, we got to get a pogo. That's on my list.
For sure. Yeah. But give it some time. Cause there's some frustration at the beginning, but yes, absolutely. And then we can all go to Pogo Palooza, which I found out is an actual thing.
Oh my word. There's like a con for everything. Like it doesn't matter what you're into. There's a convention somewhere. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yay. Awesome. Thanks, Megan. Bye.
Bye.
For you, the listeners of Adventures in Autism Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I often get asked for book recommendations related to autism, and one that I always go back to is called The Out of Sync Child by Carol Kranowitz, and it was actually recommended to me by a friend who is also an OT, and I read this book years ago before Logan was even diagnosed. It's not necessarily just for autism. It also goes into like sensory processing disorder or ADHD, but it's just very valuable information and a really great resource that I still pull from today, even though I read it years ago. So that's a really good one. Sometimes just to get my mind off things, I also just enjoy good old chick lit. I love anything by Emily Giffen, like Something Borrowed or Something Blue, and those are available on Audible as well, but you can pick from any of their titles. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/adventuresinautism, all one word. Again, that's audibletrial.com/adventuresinautism for your free audiobook. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to my conversation with Wendy. I just love chatting with her. Again, I love her, just her laid back vibe. And she's so genuine and sweet. And just her whole story with Luca, I thought was amazing. I also really like that we got into some topics that we haven't really discussed too much on the show, like diet. I thought that stuff was really interesting. And just their experience with ABA, because obviously we've had a really positive experience with Logan, but I know that's not the case with everybody. So I think it's important to just kind of share all sides and listen to everyone's journeys, regardless of, you know, the outcome of what therapy they decided to go with and all that, because it's all different. And like I said in the episode, I don't think ABA is right for every child. So I think it's just nice to hear all the different perspectives. So definitely follow along with Wendy on social media. So you can see Luca jumping on his pogo stick. He really is so cute. And Wendy's awesome. If you want to follow along with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram at Adventures in Autism Pod, or on Facebook at Adventures in Autism Podcast, or you can email me at adventuresinautism2018@yahoo.com. Again, I love hearing from you guys. If you just want to say hi, if you're interested in being a guest on the show, let me know. I had been taking a little recording break for summer, but I'm just kind of gearing up to start recording new episodes again. So yeah, let me know if you'd like to share your story on the show. I'd love to have you. So that is all for now. And until next time, take care.